Back at it for another session, Senator. Several bills already pre-filed and filed early on in this session. I guess start with a couple of the bills pertaining to education that you filed, those especially in relation to pre-kindergarten programs.
Yes, I filed two bills that would allow school districts that have early childhood education programs to receive their funding through the Education Foundation formula.
Is there a reason? Does anybody know why this has not been done before?
I think in the Missouri Constitution, I think it says we have to fund kindergarten through 12th grade. So I don't think anybody's ever even thought about pre-K, and I'm sure when the Constitution was written, people didn't realize how important pre-K was. So this is an attempt to secure some funding, to stabilize the funding for the pre-K programs, because they are critical in the development of young children. They can start out on the right path, and they do well in school.
In the pre-kindergarten, we hear so much about early childhood education, parents as teachers programs, and all these others. I'm guessing with the potential for a rewrite of the foundation formula, this would flow into any potential changes that could be made?
Well, that's exactly why I filed the bills now. You know, it seems like, I mean, we're about $600 million behind in funding the foundation formula. If we're going to bring up the foundation formula, possibly rewrite it, this is a critical area, and I think we ought to ensure the funding. I mean, last year, early childhood education took some serious cuts on the very last day of session, so it caught a lot of people off guard. I don't want that to happen again.
And these, especially with education in total, again, with the economy, especially the last few years, the money going to education has been locked in. I think it's still at the fiscal year, 2010 levels?
That's correct. We can't afford the current formula right now. Revenues are increasing at the state, but I don't know when we'll be in a position where we can fully fund the formula. So I'm expecting some sort of compromise on it, and I just want to make sure that we're having a discussion about pre-K so that we can include that in the discussions on the formula.
Another bill you filed changed the fine for seatbelt violations.
That's correct. Seatbelt fine is extremely important. Missouri ranks about 79% usage. National average is about 84%. But the major point and the major target of this bill are the teenagers. Their usage rate's about 66%. And for them, $50 is a lot of money. So if I can encourage them to buckle up, I think that goes a long way. We've lost, I think, about 300 teenagers in the past year. And most of it, they don't get killed or maimed in the actual accident. They get ejected from the car.
Not so much. And there's the critics who say, well, what difference does fine make? It's not so much a money grab as some say it may be. It's, again, to instill in those, especially those most at risk, that this is something that's needed for safety.
That's exactly it. I think total seatbelt fines at $10 was $220,000 a couple of years ago. Even at $1 million, it's not that much money. And I would prefer not to raise a nickel. I just prefer to everybody buckle up. So I get two arguments. I get sneaky way to raise revenue, and I get civil liberties. I should be able to drive how I want. But neither one of those. We have to realize the people that are getting hurt and killed the most are teenagers.
And this, again, keeps a seatbelt violation as a secondary offense?
That's correct. It's a secondary offense. There is no appetite here for a primary offense. Personally, I'd love to have it a primary offense, but I'm not even going to pursue that.
Another bill got some time last year, you've introduced again this year, is on non-human primates.
I introduced it this morning. You know, exotic pets are a big problem in the state. It was just 2 years ago that we passed the Large Carnivore Act to try to regulate the owners of lions and tigers. Now I've got a primate bill. It applies to orangutans and great apes, so anything bigger than a chimpanzee. People buy these things. They're cute little pets. Sometimes they grow up to be mean apes, and they can get out of hand. It doesn't prohibit any purchases. It doesn't prohibit their owning a possession. All it says is you have to have a permit, you have to have insurance, you have to plan what you're going to do if the thing escapes. Pretty common sense stuff.
And we've seen instances where this has happened. And again, when they're small, not a big deal, but when they're bigger, it's a huge deal. They're not in their element, first off.
They're not in their element. You know, there's a reason they call them wild animals. They're not domesticated. Case after case comes up where what has traditionally been a wild animal is adopted as a pet, and the animal has a bad day. It's sick or it's hurt, and it strikes out at its owner, and it happens all over the country. We just need to tighten up and make people realize what they're buying.
And there's a lot more. I was kind of surprised when I was doing some research on this last year, just how many people do in all different parts of the country have these kind of animals.
All different parts of the country. I think about 26 states, about half the states, prohibit the possession of non-human primates, large apes. This, I'm not prohibiting anything. I just want everybody to get a permit. Part of the permit is reporting to the sheriff of the county that you have one. So he's aware anyway. Just to try to prevent unfortunate, innocent people from being hurt.